Our gracious and our loving God, how we thank you for the Bible. That it's not out of date, it's not irrelevant, it's right for this day in which we are living. Thank you that you're a God who has spoken. You're a God who has told us everything you want us to know about life and godliness in the Bible. And as we now come and learn from your word, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will take this word and apply it to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we would live out and practice what we learn. We pray again as parents this morning and grandparents here that that silly story with the golf balls may always be true in our lives. That we put all our emphasis and time and money into what is important. And don't play games with the sand. Please give us wisdom as we bring up our children. Thank you that our children's club continues to grow week by week. It's just wonderful to see them coming, Lord, and pray that you will bless that and our teen work this year. Be with the leaders and Bev especially. We thank you for them. And now we ask you to help us as we open the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. May I ask you, friends, to open your Bibles again. And as you know, we are busy going through Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're in chapter 4, and this morning I want to cover verse 10 to verse 13 with you. Verse 10 through to verse 13. And what we are going to learn today from the Bible as Christians is how to be a contented Christian. My friends, that is terribly important. I'm sure that you've been in conversation with some people on occasions and you've asked them, well, how are things going? And the response has been to you, under the circumstances, not too good. Almost implying that when the circumstances are tough and difficult, then we battle along with that. What we are going to learn this morning, you and me, is how do we live in all circumstances? Not only that, what I'm going to try and show you this morning is how to be content in every situation. It may be, if one is a bit negative, you may leave our time this morning and find out that you've been retrenched. Let's take an extreme case. How can I be content in that situation? Or there's some severe illness in one of our family members. How do we wrestle with that one? Or there's some difficulty or frustration in our family. How do we live in that situation? Well, this passage will come and show us how to be content. I hope you find it of great help to you. But the last thing we must stress by way of introduction, friends, is that chapter 4 builds on what we've already seen. Remember, so this passage is again speaking to those who are Christians, to those who have come to the stage in their lives where they've committed their life to Christ. Because if you're not a real Christian, if you're not really saved, then this passage is impossible. And maybe as we see that, it'll further show you of your great need for Christ. Right, you've got the outline there, and so grateful to for the folks at the back, and they put it on the screen for us. So what's the first thing we're going to learn there? See verse 10, just keep the Bibles open, is how to live under all circumstances. How do we live under all circumstances? Now look at verse 10. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. My brothers and sisters, there are two very, very, very important things to remember about living under any circumstance. Now don't let it slip your mind. See that when Paul is writing this letter, he's in prison. He is having a very, very difficult time. He has been misunderstood. He's done nothing wrong. All he's done is love Christ and preach the Bible. And the Roman authorities have put him into prison, ultimately to kill him. Because he refused to compromise. He refused to bow the knee to Caesar. He kept on saying, Christ is my Lord and only Christ. And so they put him in a dungeon. If you read the commentaries, it was a severe imprisonment. He's in a dungeon, very little light, very little air, lousy grub, and nothing at all. What kept him going? Number one, he rejoiced greatly. Isn't that lovely to read that? He rejoices. He's not bitter. He's not angry. He's not anxious. He's rejoicing greatly. How is that possible? See those three words in verse 10? In the Lord. It was Christ. It was Jesus. It's through his absolute trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sense that he had that Jesus Christ had loved him. That Jesus is the one who was with him. That Jesus Christ was working through that experience. It was his relationship with Christ that enabled him, even in such a very harsh environment, to live under the circumstance. But the second, and very, very importantly, there was Christian generosity. Alec Motier is a wonderful writer. Wonderful writer. And in his commentary he wrote these words. The sufficiency of a Christian, the sufficiency of a Christian is related to the generosity of others. Isn't that a lovely phrase? See what Paul is saying? I was able to live in these harsh conditions not only because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace, but also because of your generosity and your love that you have shown into my life. He says, see verse 10, you have received and renewed your concern for me. See verse 14, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Verse 16, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Verse 18, I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. So these Philippian Christians were fantastic friends. They loved Paul. They sent him aid. They sent him whatever he needed. And they cared for him. So they're the two things. You and I, in the days in which we live, they are days of enormous stress. You know that much more than I do. There are days of huge pressure. There are days of great change. That's how we are living in South Africa. But how do we live as Christians? We rejoice greatly. It doesn't matter what is surrounding us. The golf balls are in place. See how important it is. And it's one's relationship with Jesus Christ, and not only that, but the love and the concern that we experience from fellow Christians. This love that the Philippians had for Paul was an ever-present sentiment. An ever-present sentiment. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. It was always there. It was an indication of their Christian fellowship. They loved him. They appreciated him. And they poured their love into him. And the amazing thing is that what he says to us in verse 18 is that their love and their generosity was a work that was pleasing to God. Now let's just stop for a minute. This is very important for us at Christ Church. In the days in which you and I are living, my friends, we need one another. We do. And we pray that with all our limitations, God will help Christ Church to be a caring, loving fellowship. When you're in hospital, you visit it. Your family has a meal provided. When you are battling, there are folks who love you and will pray for you. And we go out of our way to demonstrate real gospel caring for each other. How do we live under the circumstances? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the care of fellow Christians. Now let me take you to the second step, which is one step further, and that is how to be content. Look at the next verse. It's an amazing verse, isn't it? He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need. I have learned. You see, it's not something that comes easily to me. It's not something that comes easily to you, perhaps. We've got to learn it. You see? I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. What a glorious position for a real Christian to find themselves in now. The situation around them may be difficult, it may be heartbreaking, it may be soul-destroying, but deep in their heart, they've learned to be content. In every situation. Not some. In every situation to be content. So Paul tells us that sometimes, first of all, he knew very difficult times. Very difficult. He says in Acts 14, some Jews came from Iconium and Antioch and they won the crowd over. And they stoned Paul and they dragged him outside the city thinking that he was dead. Acts 16 says, the crowd joined in their attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and to be beaten. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison. He knew tough times, friends. He knew what it was like, secondly, to be hungry. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. Paul says, I know. I had no food on my table. I had nothing to drink. I had no clothes on my body. But you know what I learned? Be content. Don't be angry. Don't be bitter. Don't be remorseful. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. I've learned to be content. He knew what it was like to be in want. He knew what it was like to have plenty, especially in his pre-conversion days when he was a Pharisee. I've learned. He had been thoroughly initiated by God and by all the experiences of life which were then applied to him by the Holy Spirit. And he learned to be content. Now you say to me, but how can I do that? You don't know my situation. You don't know what it's like at my office or in my family or in my school or in my situation. How can I be content? How? There are two big lessons, dear friends. Number one, he was aware of the presence of God with him. When God in his wonderful kindness saved me in 1967, I bought a Bible with the first salary I ever got. It was a Thompson's Chain Reference Bible, and I use that Bible to this day every day of my life. And in the front of that Bible is a picture of my family. They're the golf balls. But then there's a picture of David Livingstone, my hero. I admire him amazingly. And you know what? One day after one of his, you may remember that, his second trip across Africa, he was absolutely humanly finished. Finished. His body was finished. He had suffered all those horrendous diseases that killed so many of the early missionaries. But he survived and he got back to England. And he was invited as the great hero around the world to speak at his university where he studied. And he gave the speech. And then you've no doubt heard the story. One of the students, young student, stood up in front of a packed auditorium and said to him, "Sir, can you tell me what kept you going?" And this little man, he was a short man, stood up to his feet. He said, "My son, I'll tell you. Jesus promised, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the world." He says, "That's what kept me going." And yes, the apostle in a very difficult situation, what kept him going? How is he content? He's content because he was aware of the presence of God. The second thing that kept him going that he was very conscious of was that he was alert to the purposes of God. Now, if you may remember last year when we were in chapter 1, remember we had a look at verse 12, and I'll just remind you for a moment. He says, "I want you to know, my brothers, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel." My brothers and my sisters this morning, if you're a Christian, you must remember that. That whatever happens in your life is for your good. There are no mistakes. There are no cul-de-sacs. God has got a wonderful purpose for His children, and it's always for your good. And so the apostle says, "I've learned, in whatever situation I find myself in, I'm content. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. I'm loved by fellow Christians. The Lord Jesus Christ is with me. Things are working together for my good. I'm content." Lastly, and then we finished, what's number 3? He goes to the last step. He learns to live under every circumstance. He learns to be content in every circumstance. But now he says in verse 13, "I can be confident." Listen to what he says as he closes this lovely section. "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Isn't that a wonderful thing, friend? Isn't that a great verse? You say, "Warwick, I'll never get through this." You say, "No, you're wrong. You are absolutely wrong. Well, I'll never manage that situation." Say, "No, you're wrong. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me." In other words, he says there in that little cell, "I can do everything through Jesus who infuses His strength into me." What a great measure, my brothers and sisters, that is. The measure is so great, the strength that Christ gives His children is enough to endure all trials. Well, you've gathered now. I love reading biographies. I love biographies. They teach you enormous lessons. And listen again to John Payton. Many, many years ago, that missionary, as he left the shores of England to bring the gospel to a bunch of savages that had never heard about Christ, and very sadly, his wife died, and then his little baby died. And he wrote these words in his diary. He says, "The Lord sustained me that day to lay the dust of my beloved ones in a quiet grave, which I dug for them close by at the end of the house, and in all of which the last offices of my hands, despite a breaking heart, I had to take the principal share. That spot became my sacred and much frequented shrine during all the following months and years, as I continued to labor on for the salvation of those people, amidst great difficulties, dangers, and death. But for Christ and the fellowship that he promised, I would have gone mad and died beside that lonely grave." See, my precious brothers and sisters, I can do everything with Christ giving me his strength. Perform all duties, whatever the Lord has got in store for you or for me, whatever it may be, it will be sufficient for that. To struggle on occasions with the corruption of our own hearts and that old nature that so quickly wants to take to the forefront, and in every circumstance, doesn't matter, I can do everything through Christ, who gives me the strength. So what is the message? The message is a very simple one this morning. For us Christians, be content in every situation. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ in every situation. He is with you. It's working for your good. He has a plan and a purpose through it all. He will never, ever, ever test you more than you could ever cope with. What an encouragement that is. But my dear friends, we must say this, that maybe you've never come to Christ. Maybe you look to your circumstances and the pressures that you're under, and the things that you may be going through, and the things that you may one day face. And I want to tell you that if you haven't got Christ, you are to be pitied. Because your battle and struggle without God. And that's desperate, isn't it? And if you're not sure that you've come to Christ, may we here at our church invite you. Why don't you come? Why don't you come to him? Have your sins washed and come into a living relationship with God that is only possible through Christ. Once that's happened, you can learn to be content and confident in any single situation. Let's pray together. Just for a few moments, it sometimes is good just to be quiet and to reflect. Let me give you the opportunity to reflect this morning. Maybe there are one or two of you here today that is unaware to me, and you're going through great difficulties in one way or another. Ask God to teach you how to be content. Take away all bitterness and all resentment and all regrets. Live for him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. But I found in him a living head, and he has made me glad. Oh God, thank you for him. Amen.